All right, be finding Genesis chapter 10, if you will. And there we're going to begin in verses 8 through 10. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, the book of Genesis is the seedbed of all prophecy and the seedbed of all theology. As a matter of fact, the word Genesis means beginnings. Everywhere you look in the book of Genesis, you're going to find Jesus. You're also going to see the Antichrist. Because just as Jesus is the Son of God, the Antichrist is the son of Satan. One's the seed of the woman, the other one is the seed of the serpent. One will rule over the holy city of Jerusalem, the other will rule over the sinful, hellish city of Babylon. And today we're going to talk about the rise and the fall of Babylon. And the first thing that I want you to see is the ruler of Babylon. His name is Nimrod. He pictures the Antichrist. Now, the first thing I want you to see about Nimrod is his arrogance. As a matter of fact, the name Nimrod means "let us rebel." Wouldn't that be great as a parent to name your kid "let us rebel"? Nimrod was a rebel and a leader of rebels. The Antichrist rebels against everything that God is for. There's not only his arrogance, there's his abilities. Because of his abilities, verses 8 and 9 tell us he was mighty in the earth, and that he was a mighty hunter, and that he was mighty before. That word "before" means against. He's mighty against the Lord. And because he's mighty, he prefigures Satan's Superman. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, it pictures the Antichrist coming with all power and lying wonders. The Antichrist is going to have unbelievable power. He'll be charming. He'll be witty. He'll be intelligent. He'll be forceful. The devil delivers the supernatural power to the Antichrist, and Nimrod had great power in the Old Testament. Thirdly, I want you to see his authority. Verse 9 tells us that he was a mighty hunter. Now, don't get the idea that he was out hunting deer and rabbits and ducks and all that kind of stuff. The rabbis tell us that he was a hunter of the souls of men. We also need to notice his ambition. In verse 10, it says, "And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." Now, his ambition was to rule. And up to this time, we've never seen anything about men wanting to have a kingdom or men wanting to lord it over other men. But Nimrod wanted to be an authority. And that's always been the devil's desire. If you've ever read about the fall of Satan in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, the devil said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." And do you remember what he said to Jesus during the temptation in the wilderness? He said, "If you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me." Now, Jesus didn't take that offer. But another is coming who will. His name is the Beast, or sometimes the Antichrist. And I believe he's alive on the earth right now. History began with the sin of man. It's going to end with the man of sin. In Genesis 3:15, it talks about the seed of the serpent. Now, Nimrod helps us to understand that. A man is coming who's going to be the devil incarnate. What's incarnate mean? It means in the flesh. You order chili con carne, chili with flesh, chili with meat. So he's the devil in the flesh, incarnate. He's just like Jesus is the Son of God. He is God incarnate, God in the flesh. I not only want you to see the ruler of Babylon, I want you to see the rise of Babylon. Over and over in the Bible, we read about Babylon. So if the Bible has that much to say about a subject, then we ought to pay attention to what it's saying. Now let's see what this demented thing was that was hatched in the mind of Nimrod. In Genesis 11, verses 1 and 2. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Folks, the first thing that the people did was to disobey God. God didn't intend for them to settle in the plain of Shinar. God told them to spread out over the whole earth and replenish it. A civilization has now grown up after the great flood. And after Noah and his family came out of the ark, God told them in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the whole earth. So why didn't God want them congregating in one spot? Well, God knows the dangers of a one world government, and that's exactly what the Antichrist wants to set up. That's what we're headed for today. You say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with these people coming together in the plain of Shinar? Well, it's a centralization of power. You should have learned by now that wicked people cannot be trusted with too much power. It's what we see going on in Washington today. It's what we see going on all over the world. Nimrod wanted total power over the world back then, and the socialists today want a one-world government. But let me teach you something, and I hope you hear this if you don't hear anything else today. Your freedom is directly proportionate to the size of our government. The greater the government, the less your freedom. We need just enough government to keep us strong and to keep us safe from enemies. But the government must keep its hands off of our personal lives and business. Today, Big Brother seems to have his hands on everything, and the socialists love it. You know, in 1920, only about one out of every 100 people worked for the state, federal, or local government. Today, it's one out of five. And with this governmental growth comes a centralization of power. And not only do they want to centralize our government, they want to centralize world government. The socialists are calling for a worldwide disarmament. They want us to lay down our ability to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. And they say if the governments will just disarm, we'll have collective security. But when that happens, the Antichrist is going to have the world in his grip. Remember this, folks. An armed man is a citizen. A disarmed man is a subject. Gun control is not about guns. It's about control. And those who trade their liberty for security won't have either one. You know, the American Revolution would have never happened if we'd have had gun control. You'd have been a subject of the Queen. And that's exactly what Nimrod wanted so long ago. Rather than replenishing the world like God told them to do, they built a city-state in the land of Shinar. And so in Genesis 11, verses 2 and 3, we see their disobedience. But then in verses 3 and 4, we see their depravity. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That's exactly what God wanted them to do. Why do I call this their depravity? Well, it's centered in this tower that they wanted to build. They're not trying to build a stairway to the stars. They're not that stupid. You know, some people think that they were so ignorant that they thought they could build right up into heaven. Oh, no, they had better sense than that. Folks, man has not gotten more intelligent over the centuries. He's gotten dumber. It's amazing what these people knew and what they knew how to do. This was a temple tower. The top of the thing was a temple. It was an astrological observatory. Archaeologists have found some of these towers in the plain of Shinar today. And at the top of them are zodiacs. This was the beginning of pagan devil worship. Astrology. Astrology is a tool that the devil uses to keep people away from God. They called the city Babel, which means gate to God. Astrology is just a way for the devil to keep people away from Jesus, who is the real gate to God. Later on, the word Babel came to mean confusion. But when you put it all together, the devil is wanting confusion about the way to God. That's what the devil's all about. Astrology, all false religion, all witchcraft began right here at the Tower of Babylon. And I want you to listen to what God says about Babylon in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 12. "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail." What's happening here is Isaiah is mocking these people and telling them that their sorcery is not going to do them any good. Verses 13 through 15 says, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels." Listen, "let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee." This is God's judgment on Babylon. Notice it says they were in this business of astrology from their youth. You say, well, what's wrong with astrology? Well, number one, it's idolatry. The stars were not put in the sky for you to discover your destiny. The stars were put in the sky to glorify God. I mean, the word, think of the word astrology. Astra is the word for stars. Ology comes from the word logos, which means the word. So when you put it together, it's the word of the stars. Folks, we don't need the word of the stars. We've got the word of God. When you look at the word of the stars rather than the word of God, that's rebellion against God, and it's idolatry. And those involved with astrology are going to face the judgment of God. God calls it an abomination. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." A necromancer is somebody who talks to the dead. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee." God says if you dabble in that stuff, you're an abomination to him. I wonder how many of you checked your horoscope before you came to church today. How many of you have jewelry with little zodiac signs on it? You need to get rid of that stuff and stay as far away from it as you can get. You say, "I don't take any of that stuff seriously." Well, I suppose you just dabble in adultery and don't take that seriously either. It's a sin. Leave it alone. All false religion came from what happened right here in Genesis chapter 11. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5. We're going to look at that more closely when we get into our study of Revelation. But Here John sees a beautiful woman riding on a beast. She has 7 heads and 10 horns. It's sort of like the story of Beauty and the Beast. Look how God describes this woman in Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In the Bible, spiritual harlotry is false religion. Jesus is our bridegroom. The church is his bride. And if we're not true to Jesus, we commit spiritual adultery. And all spiritual adultery, all false religion, had its beginning right here in Babylon. These people were unspeakably wicked. They had raised up a tower they called the gate to God. It was really the mouth of hell. You can be as religious as you can be, but if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then you're caught up in the Babylonian system. We've seen their disobedience. Rather than replenishing the earth, they built their city-state. We've seen their depravity. They're dealing with this false religion. But now I want you to see their defiance. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 3 through 4 again, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. 6 times, that's the number of man, 6 times they used the word us and we. There's no mention of God here. This is humanism. This is the kingdom of Antichrist. The people leave God completely out of their plans. And we have people like that today. They think they're too good to be damned, and they're strutting their way into hell. Once again, we're seeing the rise of Babylon in our day. The coming of Antichrist is going to be based in this one world government, in a one world church, and one world monetary system, as man tries to humanize God and deify man. But now let's look at the ruin of Babylon. Look at Genesis 11, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language. So the first thing I see in the ruin of Babylon is the coming of the Savior. God said, let us go down. Man was saying, let us go up. But God said, I'm going down to earth. And when the Antichrist is at the height of his arrogance, when he thinks that he has his kingdom built just right, there's going to be a voice from heaven that says, let us go down. And that's what we're waiting for right now. And I don't think it's going to be all that long from now. Not only is there the coming of the Savior, there's the confusion of speech. Look at verse 7. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not be able to understand one another's speech. Why did God confound their speech? I think it's a demonstration of God's sense of humor. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I enjoy God's sense of humor. You know, these people think they have it all together, these intelligent people. They've plotted the heavens. They've made their zodiacs. But God says, you know, I'm going to take one little piece of the pie out. You know, they've never thanked me for their ability to communicate. As a matter of fact, they don't use their ability to communicate to praise me. So he confuses their speech and he gives them all these different languages. And here they are building the tower and they're ready to put the final bricks in the tower. And one of them says, hand me a brick. And I said, what'd you say? I said, hand me a brick.
What's wrong with you?
Can't you understand plain Hebrew? Hand me a brick. What are you talking about? They can't understand each other. With the removal of one little thing, their ability to communicate, God shows them how foolish their unity was. The only true unity is the unity we have in Jesus Christ. But here the Lord has them in derision. When the Lord steps out of glory, he's going to turn the kingdoms of Antichrist into confusion. First there was the coming of the Savior, then there was the confusion of their speech, and now there's the collapse of their system in Genesis 11, verses 8 and 9. So the Lord scattered them abroad. That's what he wanted to happen in the first place. He scattered them abroad. I think he even moved the continents at that time. I did a paper in college on continental drift. You know, everybody thinks that happened over millions of years. I think it happened in a day. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. See, now the name Babel means confusion, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. Kind of reminds me of Psalm 127, where it says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. At times, it may seem like the Antichrist is getting the upper hand. It may look like the storm clouds are gathering and that the forces of evil are getting so powerfully entrenched. I mean, you look today, even in the church system, there's a thing called the World Council of Churches. That's the most useless organization on the face of the earth, other than maybe the UN, which is also an evil organization. You got occults, you got other threats. But all that follow the way of Babylon are going to sit and weep in the ruins of this fallen city. Now, as we begin to wrap this up, I want you to turn to Revelation 18, verses 1 through 4. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of all the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. That's why I told you to get rid of all this occultic business. Get rid of your Ouija boards and your crystals and your zodiacs and your horoscopes and all of that. God says, come out of her, my people. If you don't, you're going to partake of her plagues. See, Babylon is destined to fall. The very first time you ever hear the word alleluia in the Bible is when Babylon falls. I want you to look at Revelation 19, verses 1 through 3. And after these things, I heard a great salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and forever. And then in verse 6 it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. If you think you have reason to say alleluia today, folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. when this tower of blunders that the devil has built comes crashing down, there's going to be great, great rejoicing. Babylon is going to fall. There's the holy city of God. There's the hellish city of sin. I wonder where your home, your eternal home, is going to be. What system have you bought into? Have you bought into the world system? False religion? The occult? Are you leaving God out of your plans? Have you bought into humanism? The great evil of socialism? We got a whole bunch of people who want to turn this country into a socialist country today. If we do, we'll turn into Venezuela. I don't know if you've ever seen what's happening to Venezuela. People are starving to death. They can't get medicine. You know how it started? The government took all their guns away. Can't defend themselves. Now the government can do whatever they want. That's the reason our founding fathers put the Second Amendment in the Constitution. What system are you buying into? You better choose carefully. Our musicians are going to come, but we're going to have a time of invitation. And I hope you'll do some serious soul searching and decide what system you've really bought into. Because Babylon's going to fall. Babylon's going to fall. What are we going to sing, Gary?
182.
182. Please find that. Let's stand as we sing this invitation. But more than anything, I hope you'll listen to that still small voice of God who's trying to get your attention this morning, who's trying to speak to your heart. You come as we sing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, Lord, that we have some glimpse of what the future is going to be so we can make the decision we need to make. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We don't know if we have tomorrow or even tonight. I pray, Lord, that the lost in this church, the lost in the world, would hunger and thirst after you and seek you and find you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.